This is tape 3, side 2. We're looking at the Greenlee marker at Abel Church, and you said that Annie Greenlee had this put up while she was living?
Yeah, had it fixed like this while she was living. Because she said, "Well, I'm going to have it done now while I got the money to do it with," said, "because if I lay down, them children ain't do a thing but drink up what I leave." So she had this done. And if she hadn't had it done, it wouldn't have been here.
Well, did the offspring drink up what she left?
Well, evidently, there's no results, nothing. Didn't have anything to show. They didn't leave any. They didn't even improve on putting a name on there.
Well, the names are there. What they didn't do is come in and fill in the death dates.
Yeah.
Bill C., born 1876, and no death date.
Mm-hmm.
When did he die? About 20-some-odd years ago?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Mm-hmm. And Annie R., born 1879, and who died first, Annie or Bill?
Annie died first.
Mm-hmm. And what was her maiden name? Was she a Reese, I think?
Reed.
Mm-hmm. Reed, R-E-I-D. She, in fact, was a butler's daughter,
that's
wasn't
right,
she?
That's right. Okay. In other words, she was one of my butler's daughters.
And I think I've heard he was mighty protective of her.
Yeah.
And there are about 3 unmarked graves, it would seem, till we come to 1-4. Okay, the first name is unusual. C-H-A-P-I-O-H-E, Williams. And what did you say they called her?
Call her Hun, William, that's right.
Born May 16, 1880, and died March 5, 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And with flowers wired to the tombstone, so it's mm-hmm. difficult to read. Let's see, there are 2 here I think we didn't pick up because of the way these run. And this one is William. I think you need to look at that if you will.
I can't make it out.
Okay, we may try that one for rubbing. One that is legible immediately to its east.
Mm-hmm. This is Carrie Hamilton. Carrie Ruth Cannon. Carrie Ruth Cannon. Died May the 1st, 1982, at the age of 43. And her husband is Cicero Hamilton Jr. That's her husband.
Okay, why does it say son?
Huh?
It says son.
Hamilton Jr. She married her.
This must be her son. The first name is spelled T-H-R-I-S-O.
Hmm. Well, now, what's happening there? I know her husband was named Cicero Hamilton. That was her name, husband. She was. Now what happened here, she married Hamilton first, then she married Cannon later.
Mm-hmm. So this must have been erected by her son.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is only 1 grave.
Yeah, might have been.
Moving on to the east and getting pretty close to the Masonic Lodge, a bronze army marker, Hubert Martin, Private, U.S. Army, World War II, December 17, 1924, December 13, 1984. I'm sure there are others, but this is the first of the bronze World War II markers that we have seen.
Mm-hmm. Now this Ewan Marden, that's his son, I'd share this Marden we were looking at a while ago. Alfonso Marden.
Mm-hmm.
They were, let me see now, they were brothers.
Brothers.
Yes, I.
And this is a superior, there, well, what we were looking at is a bronze flat marker, but there is also a metal superior funeral home marker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where was the superior funeral home located?
Oh, at Seneca.
Sounds like Seneca is the major site for your area funeral homes.
Yeah.
Now this area with coping appears to have two or three graves, or at least spaces. Do you know if anyone else is buried here?
That's left for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vacant left for his wife.
Okay, and finally at the far end of this row is Brenda E. Freeman, May 6, 1955, April 10, 1986, and with the initial B in quotation marks at the top of the marker. Now, once again, since they're this far over, does this mean she was not a member of the church?
No, that's right. She was not a member.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay, let's once again start at this end and work our way toward the tree, and then I think after that we're going to be on even rows. An Adams mortuary marker at the eastern end of this row, Ezel Abraham. Is Abraham the last name?
Abraham, yes. That's her name. She went by Abraham.
She was born April 10, 1891, died September 7, 1986, 95 years old. Do you remember Adams Mortuary? Do you remember her?
Yeah, I remember her. But she wasn't, how old is she?
95.
Oh, right. She wouldn't be that. No, that must be something wrong. Yeah. She wasn't, because she's, my way of thinking, she's a whole lot younger than I am. When she died able. Right there.
Well, the birth and death dates they have add up, so maybe the birth date is wrong.
Yeah, got to be 18. No, she wasn't. She didn't born in 18. She born 19 something. But I just happen to know her. That's why.
Okay, the next marker is for, again, Adams Mortuary, Mrs. Edna May, M-A-E, Abraham, born February 14, 1921, died July 1, 1985, age 64. How were these two related?
Wait a minute, that's Abraham.
This is Edna May, and that's Ezel.
Let's see, who is this?
That was Ezel.
Ezel, all right. Well, now that's probably right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the man.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his daughter-in-law. Yeah.
His daughter-in-law. Now, what about his wife, Ezel Abraham?
Yeah, and she buried up there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And she died as an Abraham? When she died, she was an Abraham.
Yeah, she succeeded him. Yeah, that's right. I was thinking that was a woman, but that's right.
Were the Abrahams not members of this church either?
They weren't members. They weren't a member.
Okay, Polly Alston, August 12, 1912, July 23, 1984. A single plot with polished granite coping around it and crushed gravel on it. Probably.
Yeah, I know what I'm with. I know her very well. That's my younger sister.
Oh. And who was her husband?
The third husband was Austin. She married, first husband was a Dawson. second husband was Joan, and the third husband was Austin.
How many children did she have with these three marriages?
She didn't have two. She didn't have two children. That was by her first husband.
Moving from the grave of Viney Reed, there's a sort of not a very straight line. Actually, we probably moved up to the next line, but they're irregular. Perhaps about 15 yards and quite a few apparently unmarked graves. And a round flat stone.
Ransom Otter Trimmie. Ransom Trimmie died June the 4th, 1936. Age 104 years.
Now that's February 4.
Yeah, February 4. Well, I believe we were attached to a town about dying. His wife was dying yonder. We seen on a little flat thing like. So he's the one that was 104 years old.
Do you remember him?
I remember him very well.
Yeah. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he was just kind of very proud at the foot of.
That's our next row.
He was kind of a proud acting fellow. Uncle Ransom was.
Now, go ahead.
He always boasted. He liked to have boast about money. He'd get a whole lot of change, come to church, and we'd have sometimes he'd get a big bill, come to church. He knew people back then didn't have much money. So he'd have that $5 or $10 bill. He woke up and down the aisle. Has anybody got change? I know you have. I hardly nothing with a 10. Says, give me a change for it. Uncle Ransom.
Doesn't sound like a very pleasant man. Doesn't sound like a very pleasant man.
Yeah. But he just do that, you know.
And there are a few others in the cemetery, but he is one of the ones who was born the earliest out here.
Right.
There's a small stone without a name, and then we come to Sally Jenkins, born 1876, died June 11, 1935.
Yeah, Sally Jenkins. I remember her very well.
Was she married?
Yeah, she remembered. Sally Jenkins.
To whom?
No, she married. I don't know why she was going to be a Jenkins, but she was a Whitten or Whit.
A Whitten or Whit?
Whitner. Yeah, but I don't know why she, what had Jenkins come in at. She married somebody probably, but I don't know who.
The next stone is Wilhelmina, Wilhelmina Williams, 1920, and the death date is buried down in the ground. There's one more grave just about right up at the tree, and that's something that we cannot read if, in fact, it was ever carved.
According to that and this line.
So there seem to be maybe two or three sites unmarked on this side of the tree, that is on the east side. And we come to, how do you pronounce this name? How do you pronounce that name?
Quilla. Quilla Woods. Quilla Woods. This is a, I knew this boy, he was a World War II veteran, Quilla Woods was. He was the son of Maybelle Fuller. His mother married a Fuller. But he was a private young man.
His first name is spelled
Quilla.
North Carolina private, 77 Coast Artillery, World War II, October 13, 1921, November 28, 1945. The next stone has across the top of it Abraham, and it's not clear whether there was ever any writing on it or not. To its east are 3 to 4 unmarked graves, and that of, with a tombstone, well carved, Albert B. Chapman, November 16, 1933, November 23, 1982, plus the funeral marker sign. And what funeral home is that from? Superior.
Yeah.
The next grave, Mrs. Dolores Alexander, May 25, 1983, Johnson Funeral Home. Beyond it, Raymond Reese, 1983, Adams Mortuary. Adjacent to it, George Cannon, June 7, 1984. Nathaniel Cannon, 1923-1985. George Cannon's is not marked. Nathaniel Cannon's is Gilbert Funeral Parlor Incorporated. Were George and Nathaniel related?
Who were that?
George and Nathaniel Cannon.
They were far off kin.
Mm-hmm. But wound up being buried next to each other.
No, they just happened to die like that. That there's a young man, John Henry Jr.
John Henry Walker Jr., mm-hmm. Private, U.S. Army, Korea, February 12, 1932, May 25, 1986.
Mm-hmm.
The next line starts about 25 feet in, several spaces presumably with unmarked graves. John Witt, born 1888, died February 12, 1937. Another member of PBA, and to the east of him is the first tombstone I have seen with Calhoun, South Carolina on it. And this has your fraternal lodge, 9390. Is that the lodge number?
Yes.
Calhoun, South Carolina, Perry Witt, 1882-1939.
United Order of Oddfellows.
Mm-hmm.
United Order of Oddfellows. That's what that is.
And how would Perry and John have been related?
They're brothers. They're brothers.
Do you know who their folks were?
Well, there's a family originated around here. They were here. Cause their daddy was a chairman of ABL Church then. And I believe he was, their daddy was the first section, or not the, was the first cemetery supervisor. Their brother was.
For ABL.
Their daddy, Uncle Dave Witt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave Witt was their father.
And there's several Witts, I believe, in the Abel history book and along with the memorials.
Yeah.
Charlie, Charley, Hicks. North Carolina. No, that is South, but the S is almost gone. Private, looks like 810. Pioneer Infantry, July 19, 1939. So another one of our World War I veterans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
A metal funeral home marker with the name no longer there. One or two probably unmarked graves. A third unmarked grave with concrete coping around it. Do you happen to know anything about this one?
I don't know. I don't know who's that yet.
Probably one or two other graves immediately to the north of the tree. Lavonia Butler, September 2, 1901, February 22, 1944, at rest, gone but not forgotten. Uh-huh. Is she any of your kinfolk?
Lavonia Butler. Yeah, I remember him. He kind of died rough. 9 went in on him and beat him and his wife and killed him. They beat him up like a beef.
Just vandalism, no argument or anything, just somebody came in and...
No, but he just had the other man's wife. He'd been telling him about it. So he decided to go in there that night and fix him up. Yeah. That object in that on the other side, it's got a mark on it anyway.
There's another grave just barely under the tree, and it might be red with a mark with rubbing, but we don't have the tools today. Is it on that side?
Got the gray marker.
Okay,
a gray marker still there. I don't know if you can see it or not.
The stone is worn away, but the old cemetery marker, funeral home. David A. Benson, September 21st, 1945. It looks like it says age 2 years, 5 months.
Yeah, I know that little fella pretty good. That my little boy.
Oh. Well, that sounds like a sad day. What happened to him?
Well, he died in the hospital. He had some kind of breathing trouble from all the way up. Well, he's about 3 years old when he died.
How old was he when he died?
About three.
About three. The next marked grave, perhaps two or three in between without markers, and another that seems to overlap between rows, is Ella M. Walker, October 14, 1906, October 15, 1948. And it says at rest at the top.
We got that now.
There may be another grave adjacent without a marker. Then White Durham, August 8, 1869 to May 24, 1952. His wife, Nancy J. Childress, October 13, 1880, dash, and the other date not filled in. Do you know anything about her?
Yeah, they that's he was a local preacher during White Durham. He was a local preacher, and that's his wife, Nancy.
By prisoner, do you mean one of the ones working on Clemson College?
No, they were doing... No, he lived right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lived right down the hill, not local, yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood you. I thought you used the word prisoner like George. Also. No.
No, not that. He wasn't old enough for that.
What about his wife? I assume she's buried here also?
She was with him all of them. They lived together all their life. But she died. He died first, I believe, and then she died later. She lived with him. Daughter down there on New Holly Light. She died.
Is she buried here in this plot? And you remember about when she died?
No. I don't remember.
there is another unmarked grave, and then we come to another one of these signs that says White Wit. Is that correct?
Willie Witt.
Willie Witt.
Willie Witt. Willie, W-H-I-T-T. Mm-hmm. That's who that is. I happen to know about him, but that's what it is, Willie Witt.
Mm-hmm.
His name.
You mentioned a few minutes ago something about the fellow who put up these stones that are so difficult to read, and they look almost like little crosses in stone with the name printed on the top as opposed to on the side. Who did these stones?
Willie William. Willie William. He still lived. But now, if he had did that out of that cement, had been sleek finish,
mm-hmm.
probably could have been red than yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a sand finish. Look like.
Still another unmarked grave, but with a large flat stone at the head, and apparently never had any markings of any kind on it, as best we can see.
Well, her name is Sue Reed. That's who that is.
And
Sue Reed.
How is she related to the other Reeds?
Well, she wasn't no related to the other brother Reed, known as a different family.
Same spelling.
But she was a widow of Ed Reed. You remember seeing Ed Reed gray way down yonder,
mm-hmm.
next to my aunt's grave? Well, that's her husband.
Do you know what her maiden name was?
Yeah, her maiden name was I believe it was Reed. I believe it was Reed.
So
the
she
maiden name
was a Reed and married one. The next marker is a metal Adams mortuary sign. France S. Hairston, H-A-I-R-S-T-O-N, 1983. The next grave, also with cross tie coping, is Crawford Reese, 10/24, 1985, a Superior Funeral Home metal marker.
That's Crawford Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Crawford Reese. Yeah, I know him. Crawford Reese.
And a large plot with fairly expensive marker, polished granite coping and crushed gravel, and an urn as well. The family name in the middle, Gilliard, and the two graves flanking it are, how do you pronounce this one?
Joe Ivory. Joe Ivory.
Joe Ivory. J-O-I-V-E-R-Y. B. July 7, 1933, and still alive?
Joe Ivory B. That B was for Benson. She was a Benson with Mary Gilliard.
Is she still living?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of your kinfolk?
That's right, she.
Niece?
No, my daddy's brother, so I'm first cousin.
Okay, and next to her is Matthew W. Senior.
That's her husband.
Is he still living?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So these are planned in advance. There's nobody there.
Nobody there. Right.
And the date of his birth is July 29, 1927. And to the far side of this whole plot is a sister. Her sister?
No, his sister.
His sister. Dorothy G. Brunson, B-R-U-N-S-O-N, April 25, 1915, September 11, 1988, gone but not forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a Gilliard and married a Brunson.
That's right, Brunson. Brunson, it wasn't Benson. Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
Benson.
Okay, once again, we need to stop for a few moments.